Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now. Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
You're listening to Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network. Here's your host, Dave Smith.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. It's Monday. That means we are phoning it in. Phoning it in Mondays. But of course, I am joined by the incomparable, the fire, the king of the caulks, Robbie Bernstein. What's up, my brother?
I'm just excited for a snow day.
Oh, yeah. It's a real fucking snow day, huh? So, oh, by the way, quick, it's blizzarding like crazy outside right now. I think we're going to have to do skanks over Zoom tonight because de Blasio basically said no travel, which seemed a little quick to suspend travel. I think after all this COVID shit, they're just like, well, we can do whatever we want now. So it's snowing. You're all staying inside. But so I record in my studio down here. It's on the first floor of my house. And there's a sliding glass door to my backyard. Now, for those of you who know sliding glass doors, they look very pretty. It's very nice to see your backyard through them. Great in the summer. They don't do a great job of insulating heat in the winter. But I've got a fireplace down here, like a gas electric fireplace. You know, I'm still a New York Jew. I'm not about to build a real fire. But whatever, electric fireplace, that's my speed. But anyway, I've never turned it on before. But I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to put on the fire, make it nice and toasty in here while I record. And the pilot was, wasn't starting. And before I got the fire on, I set off all the CO2 alarms in my house and then had to open all of the windows to let the gas escape, which really defeats the whole purpose of starting a fire to keep it warm. So it is fairly chilly in here as I am getting ready. But I brought the space heater down and was running it, but it's not, and the space heater makes noise, so I can't keep it going during the recording. Anyway, if I'm a little off my game today, blame it on the cold. This whole thing backfired on me pretty hard. But hey, what are you going to do? But I'm here.
You didn't blow up your house, dude.
That is true. I did not blow up my house. I did not kill my family. I did not blow up my house.
So you didn't go, hey, while waiting this to start, let me just smoke a cigarette.
Oh, man, I wish. God, I miss cigarettes so much.
This new setting. It's very like feng shui. It makes you seem spiritually enlightened.
Yeah, we got a whole new thing. We painted, we changed up the whole room a little bit. It's I'd take credit, but it's all my wife. She does everything. She's that's where we go. All right. So quick, before we get into today's show, just want to let you know, Wednesday, I got Hotep Jesus coming on the show. Very excited. He interviewed me on his show, and now I'm looking forward to interviewing him and learning a little bit more about him and his movement that he represents. And then the following week, I believe, it's either the following week or 2 weeks after that, got Spike Cohen coming back onto the show. Of course, Spike was the VP nominee for the Libertarian Party in 2020. And it'll be interesting to talk to him about the presidential race and what he's doing going forward and all that good stuff. So a couple of fun ones to look forward to. Oh, also, haven't set it up yet, but I'm going to obviously have Scott Horton on in the next week or so to talk about his new book, Enough Already, which is phenomenal. I'm two chapters shy from finishing it. I've just been busy and I wanted to finish the book before I had him on so I could discuss it intelligently, unlike, you know, most of my shows. When I actually have something intelligent to say when Scott Horton's here. But the book is really phenomenal. I highly recommend people go get it. This is Scott Horton's masterpiece. And it's the perfect level of explaining everything that's going on without getting, you know, too lost in the detail of each conflict, which is, you know, Scott's only weakness is that he knows so much that sometimes he assumes the audience is following him and people get lost where they're like, wait, which tribe is fighting who now and what border are we on? But this book is really just perfect. So I highly recommend people go grab that. Let's pump this thing up as much as we can. And also Scott's back on Twitter. He never actually left, but he stopped using his Twitter, but now he's back on it to promote the book and he's been sucked back into that evil world that is Twitter. So go follow him at Scott Horton Show on Twitter and follow Robbie the Fire at Robbie the Fire on Twitter. Okay. So for today's show, the theme is something that I've been noticing for a while, particularly in the last month or so. And it's basically this. I think that the establishment narrative is collapsing. How many of you guys have noticed that? It just seems to me like there's always been kind of like the establishment talking points, the establishment narrative, and then there would be dissidents who would point out the holes in it. And they would say, yeah, but this isn't really what's going on. This isn't, here's a better way to look at things. Here's a better way to think about things. Here are facts that contradict the official story. But the establishment narrative was at least somewhat plausible, whereas now I feel like it's just completely falling apart. And there's something about, you know, when Barack Obama was in, there was like hope and change and they could kind of sell you on this historic presidency. When Trump was in, it was the evil fascist and they could kind of blame everything on Trump. But now Trump's gone and it's just Biden. He's not hope and change. He's not orange fascist. He's just an incompetent old man who they're carrying water for. And there's so many people now who are disillusioned with the system that I think they're really struggling to kind of keep this narrative going. To keep, like, I don't know if you've noticed this, Rob, just listening to like the corporate press or looking at the way that they're kind of even talking about what happened on January 6th, talking about the GameStop thing, talking about, it's like, how could anyone buy this? This isn't just like people like me and you can see through this. This is like, I don't actually understand how anyone could buy what you're selling right now. Have you noticed any of that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't watch as much news as you do. So some of the,
that's healthy.
Real bullshit and spin exists more on, you know, your Fox, your CNN than it does in print. But the scattered articles I saw of people trying to call the investors greedy or trying to say that we needed to put a stop to the behavior of retail investors as if they were doing something nefarious and playing against a hedge fund all seem pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not just judging this off the cable news. I'm talking about print as well. Yes, the idea that Wall Street Bets Reddit page is made up of a bunch of greedy investors because they, what? I mean, all they did was the exact same thing that the hedge funds were doing in reverse. The hedge funds were the ones coming out, short selling a stock, letting everybody know they're doing it, trying to manipulate the market in their own way. They just did a better job in this one example, not overall. So anyway, I was thinking about that, and this goes beyond, you know, it's the whole cathedral. It's not just, you know, one aspect of it. And that includes also, of course, you know, late night comedy shows, which have, you know, particularly in the Trump years, really become intensely politicized. Well, those two things are related, right? Intensely politicized and also not funny.
You
and
that went from watching monologue jokes to literally just late night propaganda of look how much of a dummy. It wasn't even jokes anymore. It was just like CNN started writing, you know, the late night monologues.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that too is that it's like, it's not, it's that they were so agenda driven I think that's really what sucks the funny out of the it, because look, like George Carlin could do political comedy. Other greats like me, you can do political comedy and be funny with it. But when you're so angry and agenda driven, it almost doesn't allow you to just be funny, because funny might take you in a different direction than where, you know, your rigid, you know, kind of marching orders come from or lead you. So anyway, I saw this. I don't watch any of these shows, but I saw this clip on Twitter, and I was actually like, this actually made my jaw drop. I couldn't believe this is what Kimmel's response was to the GameStop thing, where you're like, look, dude, if you're going to write a joke about this, I mean, there's lots of different jokes you could come up with about this whole situation. It's all the whole thing, just like, again, and this is like a little insight into like a stand-up comics like mind, but, you know, as we are a show, even though this is a, you know, political show, but it's two comedians here. If you're looking at to write a joke about the GameStop thing, you'd first start looking for like, well, what's funny about this? What is, you know, like, number one thing that's funny about it is that it's GameStop. It's a video game store that is what is at the center of like hedge funds are losing their mind over where, you know, nerds go to trade in their video games. There's all these like different angles that you could go that are funny about it. And maybe you could find a good joke somewhere in there. But listening to what Kimmel did on this, my jaw dropped. And for the reason that I was talking about, I go, I can't imagine that anybody could watch this and not see through what's going on here. So let's just play the clip and then we'll talk about it.
GameStop, if you don't know, it's a video game store. And like a lot of businesses, they've been struggling because of COVID, but also because most people buy games online now. And yet, despite a sharp decline in sales, over the past 6 months, their stock price has grown by 8,000% because a bunch of amateur investors, maybe even some Russian disruptors who are part of a Reddit community called Wall Street Bets, decided to buy a bunch of GameStop stock.
That's Jimmy Kimmel's assessment of what happened. That a bunch of people, maybe even some Russian disruptors, decided to buy a bunch of stock. And that's why this stock has gone up like so high over the last 6 months, even though the company sucks. Okay. So what he's leaving out there is everything that actually happened in the story. It's not a matter of just like, oh, some Russian disruptors. My God. I mean, that's, we'll talk about that in a second. But it's like, well, no, a bunch of hedge funds were shorting this stock to a crazy level where they actually shorted more shares than exist. Okay. That's what it was in response to. So he's not even like talking about the actual issue, what actually happened there. And I wonder, you know, Jimmy Kimmel's made a lot of money. I wonder if he's got some money in any of these hedge funds that that might have been betting against GameStop. But the thing that really did stick out to me there was the Russian disruptors line. You know, there's this thing that's happened in America where the more hysterical the cathedral gets in their wild accusations. All right, guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our sponsor for today's show. This is for fans over the age of 21. I want to tell you about Fully Loaded Chew. I know a lot of my fans are either smoking cigarettes or hitting the vape pen. Now, nicotine is an addictive chemical, so we're not suggesting this to any new users. But if you're like me and you're already addicted to nicotine, go try some Fully Loaded Chew. This is the only chew with tobacco-free nicotine. Tobacco-free nicotine means less bad shit in your mouth. Fully Loaded's motto is save a lip. They have them available in flavors, wintergreen, mint, bourbon, and peach. Fully Loaded Chew comes at different nicotine levels. Full strength is the same nicotine as any other chew. And if you're looking to cut back on your nicotine or wean yourself off the nicotine, they have half strength and full flavor chew with no nicotine at all. So once more, if you're already a dipper or a smoker or a vapor, go check out Fully Loaded Chew. The team at Gas and Fully Loaded Chew worked to put together a killer promotional offer for you guys. If you go to fullyloadedchew.com and use the promo code FREEGAS, you're going to get a free tin and free shipping. So you can try this without paying anything. One more time, that's Fully Loaded Chew, and the promo code is FREEGAS for a free tin and free shipping. Go check this out, fullyloadedchew.com, promo code FREEGAS. All right, let's get back into the show. you know, if you talk about anything, like if you question the amount of fraud that happened in this election, if you question whether, you know, perhaps lockdowns were intentionally used to damage the economy, to hurt Donald Trump politically. You know, there's a lot of different things you can talk about. And what do you get called, Rob? What's the label that they'll use against you to dismiss any point you might be making? Well, you're a conspiracy theorist. Yet to just muse that, you know, maybe it's Russian disruptors who are buying these stocks. That's completely acceptable. This type of wild conspiracy, there is based on nothing. And without even, like, if me and you were going to talk about, which we have several times, if we were going to talk about the case for fraud in the election, we would feel it incumbent on ourselves to at least demonstrate something, right? Like, if you talk about fraud, you're like, well, there were these affidavits that were written by people who said they saw tampering with vote boxes. No, we did change the way we were voting. There were these weird dumps that came in at these weird times. Like even if you're wrong about the theory, you'd at least present something. But they feel completely comfortable to just go, there was Russians. I don't know. I don't need to present any evidence. I don't need to have anything to back up this point. Just saying, I think it was Russians who did it. Like, now what's happened throughout the decades, but has really been accelerating over the last few years, is that they keep it, it's like they're using these lines of attack, but it seems to me like they're using them more and more, and they're so clearly hysterical that it's getting diminishing returns. So it used to be that you'd call everybody racist or sexist or something like this if they disagreed with you. It's where that old, that saying, what is a racist? It's anybody winning an argument with a progressive. I don't know who coined that phrase, but it's a great phrase. But then racist kind of wasn't enough anymore because everyone had been called racist. You know, it was like, it was hard for them to just call Donald Trump a racist or a sexist because they had just called Mitt Romney a racist and a sexist. And so Donald Trump had to be something worse. So what does he get? He gets like fascist and Nazi and Russian agent and all of these things. And now I really feel like, I felt like the fascist Nazi thing almost got desensitized, because once everybody is a Nazi, then like, what does it really mean to call someone a Nazi? It's just not, it doesn't carry that much weight anymore. If anyone who doesn't believe in open borders is a Nazi, then a Nazi is, Nazi describes like 95% of people who have ever existed. So it's just really not that, you know, like it doesn't hold a lot of weight. And then now I feel like the Russia thing has just been completely destroyed. Like anyone looking at it, it's like, wait, so anything that goes against the establishment now is Russian interference? It's not just that Trump won. It's like, if anything, if a hedge fund loses money betting against a stock, that must have been Russian interference. By the way, I mean, stop and think about it for a second. They're saying that Russia's evil plan is to check notes, invest in US stocks. That's how the Russians are going to get us, Rob. They're going to give American companies money. All right. Seems a little bit far-fetched. But anyway, I don't know. The thing that actually kind of excited me about seeing this was that I go, I can't imagine that people are going to buy this. Like, that just seems really hard to imagine. Do you agree with me on that?
That feels like he got marching orders. There's no joke there. And it seems like he got marching orders. Hey, we're trying to test this narrative, but I don't know how anyone in the world doesn't, I don't know how Jimmy Kimmel doesn't lose credibility points on that. For one, clearly just being a shill for some propaganda. Two, just being not funny. I mean, you know, let's say not funny. And then last, everyone kind of looks at this and goes, hey, it was a win for the underdog. This is the common man actually got a win against the big banks. It's really hard to take the other side of that.
Yeah. How can you get the left? I mean, look, don't get me wrong. There's lots of problems with American leftists. I'm not, you know, defending them, but to side with hedge funds, that's, it's almost like, you know, you're trying to get them to go against their DNA. I mean, that's like, you know, that might be a bridge too far, even for the American left. And even just for your run of the mill liberal, I just don't understand. How are they supposed to think, oh, because the hedge funds took a beating once, you know, one time?
The only argument might be the hedge fund people, at least they win all their money and then you never have to see or deal with them. Whereas if you're a leftist, these are the assholes you never liked at the other side of the bar, and now they got all the money.
Yeah. No, listen, maybe you're right about that. But you also see where this is to like a bigger theme that we've talked about a lot on this show, is that it's very interesting. And this is why you've seen so many attacks on Reddit, Wall Street, you know, being Trump supporters, being racist, being Nazis. Now they're trying with the Russian thing or whatever.
They temporarily took it down for that. Something, was it the Reddit page that got taken down or something else got taken down?
I don't know. I don't think the Reddit page got taken down. I could be wrong about that. I know the Robinhood, you know, thing got taken down, which, you know, it was the Discord. Thank you, Brian. Yeah. Their Discord server. That's right. Got taken down. So there's been a concerted effort to shut this down. I mean, look, they messed with some very powerful people, but of course, right, this is what's been happening. And I think I really do think this has been, an intentional concerted effort since the, around Occupy Wall Street, was to push this kind of identitarian wokeism on the left, because they think that this will allow a divide and conquer strategy, where you guys, as long as you're focusing on whether they were Trump supporters or whether they were racists or whether they were this or that, then you're not really focusing on what's really going on here, which is that this was hedge funds versus regular investors. That's really objectively what's happening here. And I do think that, you know, there's, you know, I posted a couple of them before, but you can look at these like Nexus charts of how many like news articles in major news publications, how many times they mention the word systemic racism, how many times they mention white supremacy, or, you know, like all of these other different topics. All of them, their charts, they shoot up like right around 2010. They go from like this barely being anything that's talked about to this is all we're talking about now. And I think that this was, not to say that anything is like completely a conspiracy. I think some of it organically grew from the bottom up, but they jumped on it for sure to really push this hard. Because what is really the antidote to we are the 99%? It's like, no, you're not. You're not the 99%. You're the 2% and the 13% and the 12%. And then you divide everybody up into different groups, create a lot of animosity between those groups and let them fight it out. And then everybody forgets that, you know, what's really going on here, the bigger story is that this is a system designed to screw you over and to help people who really don't need the help, who are, you know, are ripping you off. So anyway, I liked seeing this because I just thought to myself, I was like, man, this is an opportunity for a lot of red pilling. And that's really what we're after. I would like, I've said this for a long time on this show, right? Like, I would like to convince everybody to be a libertarian. That would really be my ideal, you know, situation. And I've been able to persuade a lot of people, you know, like to introduce these ideas, to convince people that individual liberty and free markets and non-interventionism, all these things, this is the way to go. It's the way to have a more peaceful, more prosperous society. But short of that, I can at least convince you that this whole system is bullshit. And I will settle for that. You know, I will settle for a lot of people realizing that this whole thing is bullshit. That's the essence of what we mean when we say the red pill. It's just a slang for that. It's just realizing that the whole goddamn thing is not what it's presented to be. And it's actually operating not to help you, but to screw you over to help others. That's the, and I look at that Kimmel thing and I think, how could a lot of people not see that, you know? Thank our awesome sponsor for today's show, which is Cuts. For better or worse, 2020 kicked off the work from home era, and everyone is asking one big question. What are we supposed to wear? Do you really need to wear a tie for your Zoom meeting? Probably not, but sweatpants and your go-to gym tee don't really feel right for work either. Cuts Clothing is the perfect solution to your work from home wardrobe confusion. Cuts is the best in the world at making technical apparel for the sport of business. Their t-shirts, polos, and hoodies have enough quality and style to wear them in the office, on a date, and anywhere in between. So you don't have to choose between a classic look and a modern feel. In 2016, Steve Borrelli was struggling to find the perfect t-shirt. He wanted something that had enough quality to be worn professionally at work, yet enough style for a night out. No matter where he looked, nothing fit the bill, so he took matters into his own hands. The result was a product you could be proud to wear anytime, anywhere, without sacrificing comfort. Fit, fabric, and function. Cuts started out in 2016 by making what GQ calls the only shirt worth wearing. Athletic, tailored-looking fit is perfect for work, a date, and everything in between. Their custom-engineered, wrinkle-free Pika Pro fabric can only be described as buttery soft. Honestly, guys, these shirts are incredible. You got to check them out. You're going to love them. After years of development, Cuts has released their new polo and hoodies as well. The new Pika Polo, designed in Los Angeles with Cuts custom engineered Pika Pro fabric that keeps you fitted for the daily work grind, a happy hour escape, and everything in between. Cuts new hoodies are made with their custom Hyperloop French Terry fabric. They were designed with comfort in mind and lasting structure for the long haul. Get the Steve Jobs advantage. Stop spending so much time and energy picking out clothes in the morning. Throw on a Cuts shirt, some pants, and get on with your day. You'll be ready for anything. Cuts is loved by your favorite athletes, entrepreneurs, even podcast hosts. It seems like everyone is wearing Cuts these days, and you can get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/POTP. That's cutsclothing.com/POTP for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. All right, let's get back into the show. Okay, so on the theme of the establishment losing control of the narrative, I wanted to play a clip that I saw on CNN from our favorite little piggy, Brian Stelter. It's been too long. Let's pull him up.
And the polluters are trying to deflect blame. Dishonest cries of censorship are filling Fox's airwaves with charges that these guys right here are being suppressed. The word censorship's been invoked almost 400 times on Fox this month alone, and more than 300 times on Newsmax. You know, post-insurrection, a book publisher decided that it did not want to be in business with Senator Josh Hawley. So he's been on a national TV tour claiming he's muzzled. And Tucker Carlson is telling viewers that this network, CNN, is trying to force Fox News off the air, which is patently false. It's as predictable as the sunrise. Democrats win elections, and then Republicans say they are being silenced. But while some cry cancel culture, let me suggest a different way to think about this. A harm reduction model. Most people want clean air and blue skies and accurate news and rational views. And then in that healthy environment that looks beautiful, then we can have great fights about taxes and regulation and healthcare and all the rest. The vast majority of people can agree that disinformation about, let's say, the pandemic is unhealthy. It's harmful. So how can that harm be reduced? Well, big tech platforms say they are removing lies about vaccines and stamping out Stop the Steal BS and QAnon cult content. Now, do these private companies have too much power? Sure. And many people would say yes, of course they do. But reducing a liar's reach is not the same as censoring freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is different than freedom of reach. And algorithmic reach is part of the problem. Now, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg seems to agree. Here's the headline from Politico. He's pledging to depoliticize Facebook. Zuckerberg says one of the top pieces of feedback that we're hearing from our community is that people don't want politics and fighting to take over their experience on our services. Well, he's several years too late, but that is a real issue. And he wants to now try to clean up Facebook. But this is bigger than Facebook. This harm happens all over the place. In the words of a recently fired Fox News editor, news consumers are both overfed and malnourished.
Okay. So we'll pick back up because that's the first clip, and then he continues on after that. But that to me is like the most Orwellian shit I've ever heard in my life. He goes, we're not talking about taking away your speech. We're talking about taking away your reach, a liar's reach. So, of course, you get to determine who the liars are. And shockingly, it's Fox News and basically any outlet that doesn't view things the way you do. And then you're taking away their reach. So what are they talking about? Now, I really hate this argument that I see used a lot. Which he just used in there very subtly, but he goes, so this guy goes on Fox News, he goes on national television to complain that he doesn't have a voice. So they're basically saying the fact that anyone will still have you on disproves your claim that your voice is being silenced. But obviously there's a pretty big flaw in that logic, if you could call it logic. So he had a book and the publisher pulled out. Now, feel however you feel about that. That is absolutely his ability to communicate being suppressed. That may not be illegal. It may not be a violation of the First Amendment, but he was going to have a book out that was available to buy, and now he doesn't. So the fact that anyone is willing to raise concern about this issue, in their mind, they'll say disproves that there's an issue. So don't you see the problem with that? So if a whole bunch of outlets are censoring people and one outlet will allow you to bring it up, the fact that you're bringing it up disproves that it's happening. But of course it doesn't. That all that indicates is that there's still one outlet out there that will allow you to talk about this. So the fact that we're talking about it at all in their mind disproves that it's happening. So in other words, they very, you know, in a kind of clever, dishonest way, they've boxed you into a corner where basically you have to shut up about this completely or it's not happening. It's very tricky, very, very tricky work by Stelter.
Yeah. And then on top of that, he goes, as long as we're within the frame of the things that are most important to me, then we can start having arguments about other things. Well, yes, no, why can't we argue about those things?
No, I'll tell you the allowable discourse, and then you and then it's okay. Then we can argue within there.
And I'm not cartoonishly against clean air and blue skies. I just know that when you're putting that up there and going, well, we all agree on this, it's so you can sneak some other shit by me under the pretense that it's because we all agree on these things. And the disinformation, you're going to hold governors accountable for shutting us down and now just opening us up? Let's look into disinformation.
Oh, I'm disinformation. All for clearing
up disinformation.
Well, of course. And then this is how this whole thing like works, is that you say, well, I'm just against lies and disinformation. But then you get to be the arbiter of what are lies and disinformation and when we get really outraged about it. I mean, speaking of disinformation, it just came out that the New York State government drastically downplayed the number of people killed in nursing homes. They were killed directly because of Cuomo's orders.
Who cares, right, Dave? Cares?
That doesn't get, you know, in the realm. Now, of course, the obvious
Cuomo literally said that when they asked him about it.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Cuomo said, who cares? Who cares what the percentage is? Who cares where they died? It's like, well, I don't know. Their family probably cares.
No, it's because you manipulated the numbers so that you could make it seem like their COVID was more of a threat than it was. Because really, it was just all the people you stuffed into old age homes that were dying. It wasn't a risk to the general population. You transferred them back to hospitals and pretended like they weren't, you know, old age deaths. It's fucking fraud, dude.
Well, no, absolutely. And I mean, you know, worse than fraud, it is fraud, but that's kind of the least of it. It's like, I don't know, some like negligible homicide or something like, I don't know. It's pretty bad. And that's, you know, being generous. But so, you know, of course, this is, you know, the idea that CNN is now all of a sudden, it's really quite something to watch, as if they always count on you having an incredibly short memory. But CNN's going, oh, yeah, a Democrat wins. And now Fox is freaking out about how everything's so bad. Like, what was CNN's reaction to Trump winning? You guys, you called him a Russian asset for 3 years. Even more than that, it'll still come up when convenient. But that, of course, we wouldn't determine as a lie. That was just good, hardworking folks in the media getting something dead wrong. But, you know, so it's like you can go through all of this stuff and determine. I mean, there's a just as strong a case to make that CNN's reach should be limited if you're trying to limit, you know, liars' reach. But that really is, there is something really creepy in there, just being like opening with, this is so absurd that Fox News is calling this censorship. And then a minute later going, oh, we just want to shut down the ability of liars to reach anyone. I mean, what is limiting someone's reach other than censorship? I mean, like what would be the ultimate limitation of reach? It'd be like, you can reach no one, right? So tell me what the difference between you not being able to reach anyone and censorship is. It's the exact same thing, right? All right, guys, let's take a second and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is BetDSI.com, the place for online gambling, a longtime sponsor of the show. I love this site. A lot of fun to bet on sports. One of the most fun things you can do out there. A lot of big fights going on this weekend. Big Alistair Overeem fight. I actually don't even know who to put money on that fight, but I'll tell you right now, I'm putting money on my boy Frankie Edgar. I'm going to throw some money down on Frankie Edgar. He's undefeated in the division. I think he comes away with a big win, and I'm pretty sure he's going to be the underdog going into this. So that's my pick for this one. And hey, I told you Dustin Poirier was a good pick at the odds last time. So now we got BetDSI back. I'm going on a streak here. I'm making some good picks. Frankie Edgar, that's my pick for this weekend. Anyway, you can also bet on the NFL, the PGA, the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, all types of MMA. You can bet on just about everything over at BetDSI. It's a lot of fun. If you want to beat the coronavirus blues, go have some fun without leaving your house. Check out BetDSI.com. The sportsbook has action on just about everything. They also have live in-game wagering, so even if you miss the beginning of a game, you can still put down a bet. So go have some fun at BetDSI.com. And if you use the promo code PROBLEM21, you're going to get $123 free for every $100 you put down. So you deposit $100, you get an extra $123 to play with. Now you got a total of $223. Remember that the bonuses do have rollover requirements. So if you take the free cash, you got to bet a certain amount before you can pull your money out. But it's free cash. So if you just want to bet and pull out, don't take the money. But if you want to bet a whole bunch, take it, because it's free money. So make sure you do that. Go have some fun. Either way, go to BetDSI.com. Use promo code PROBLEM21. All right, let's get back into the show. All right, let's play the second half of this clip.
But this is bigger than Facebook. This harm happens all over the place. In the words of a recently fired Fox News editor, news consumers are both overfed and malnourished at the same time, gorging on empty informational calories, indulging their sugar fixes of self-affirming half-truths and even outright lies. It's impossible to make all those lies go away, but they can be reduced. All right? Harm reduction. But instead, we get this over on Newsmax. Look at this. Biden's plan to destroy America. It looks like some crazy comic book movie or something, or some action hero movie. That's what we get on Newsmax. Here's what we get on Fox. Tucker Carlson declaring that unity for Dems means locking up their opponents. And quote, you can now be arrested for saying the wrong thing. What? And the government is at war with its own people. What? This apocalyptic stuff is day in, day out on these channels. It is part of a radicalization pipeline that pits neighbors against neighbor and lets fear overpower courage. And it poisons American politics. To borrow the pollution metaphor again, the people who live closest to the factory, who ingest most of the pollution, they get the sickest. But everyone is affected by this toxic information world. So most of the criticism of Facebook is not aimed at stopping social media, stamping it out. It's about making the platform actually more social, helping friendships, not ruining them. And most of the criticism of Fox News is not aimed at shutting it down, which will never happen anyway. It's about making Fox better, putting the news back in Fox News. They could go another way. If Fox is going to keep transitioning into the 24/7 Tucker channel, then maybe it belongs next to sci-fi on your channel lineup, not MSNBC. These need to be nuanced conversations, not edicts, not orders. This is complicated, but harm reduction is possible. Harm reduction is possible by adding more news and less opinion to the content. Harm reduction is possible by pushing some of the QAnon craziness out of your newsfeed on Facebook. This is not ultimately about freedom of speech. It's about freedom of reach. And with me now, someone who's thought a lot about this, Nick Kristoff.
All right, let's end it there. So even for Brian Stelter, okay, even judging by the Brian Stelter little picky curve, that was just unbelievable. The levels of self-contradiction and hypocrisy that are coming out of his mouth, like, I mean, and by the way, how creepy is it? Like, oh, we're not trying to get rid of Fox News. We're trying to make Fox News better. So in other words, if you just become CNN, then you can stay, right?
So there's your labeling answer. It as harm reduction. So what they do is harmful. That's quite the editorialization.
So he goes through, this is what was so unbelievable to me, right? Is he goes through these kind of like headlines that are running at the bottom of Fox News and Newsmax. And, you know, fair enough. I mean, you can call them kind of hyperbolic and maybe even misleading or whatever, you know, you want to say about it. Like, you know, Joe Biden wants to silence his enemies. When the Democrats say unity, they mean they're going to lock you up. You can now be locked up for saying the wrong thing. You know, all these things. And he's going there and he goes, come on, what is this? Sci-fi? What is this? Seems great. Meanwhile, at the bottom of his screen, he's got the term, what was it? Eliminating pollution or something like that. So he's referring to it as pollution and then goes on in the next sentence to say, well, if you live right near the factory, you're going to get sick and die, but it poisons everybody. Like, okay, you're doing the exact same thing that you're criticizing them for doing and you don't even realize it. Or maybe he does and he's just like, whatever, I'm a propagandist, that's what I do. But he is in the same breath, like literally the next sentence goes on to compare them to toxic fumes. Okay, so yes, okay, maybe they're being a little bit hyperbolic, but you are equally guilty. And let's get real, they're all in the world. And hey, I guess we are too in the world of, look, you're trying to get attention, you're trying to get clicks, you're trying. So everybody's a little bit incentivized to use hyperbole, right? Like that's just the way these things work. But to sit there while you're doing it and criticize others for the exact same thing, look, it is no question. It is sensationalism to say, you know, Joe Biden wants to destroy America. Okay, that's you know, it's a little hyperbolic to say he wants to destroy America. But what is calling what happened on January 6th an insurrection or an attempted coup? I mean, come on, you're doing the exact same thing. The exact same thing you're accusing them of being guilty of. It's just in your world, you're in such a bubble that it's a given that that was an insurrection. But this is all just the same thing. Now, look, if you want to make the technical argument that it was an insurrection, I mean, all right, you can try to. It's an incredibly far reach. If you want to make the argument that Joe Biden is attempting to destroy America, yeah, it's also a little bit of a reach. You know, but you would say, well, this policy and this policy and this policy is really bad for America. And he wants to do that. And you can make an argument that, you know, a very, very convincing argument. You go, the guy comes in and then right away, he's like, you know, after the year 2020, when so many millions of people have been kicked out of work, he's now going to sit here and like ban a pipeline. He's just going to like kill more jobs for no reason, you know, but that's all fair game to make these arguments. But don't sit there while you're calling the last president guilty of inciting an insurrection. And you're going to sit there and say, but they're using hyperbole. Get the fuck out of here, Brian Stelter. It's unbelievable the level of hypocrisy. Like to be able to say this with a straight face and not have at least some part of your soul like gnaw away at you and go, man, I am doing exactly what I am accusing them of doing. It's hard to imagine.
Well, if he's paid well enough, you know, he just gets out there and goes, I'm the best at fucking bullshitting. And that's why I make this paycheck. And then I go home and eat a bunch and try and not feel the shame. What does he even mean by freedom of reach? I don't even know. What's he talking about?
I think what he's saying is that making sure that this disinformation can't reach a lot of people.
And how do you argue that that's not censorship?
Well, I don't know. That was his argument. You just heard it. We're not talking about freedom of speech. I suppose you can
say whatever
still,
you want as long as no one can hear it.
Yeah. You can still say whatever you want to. I mean, yeah, look, you could really, if you want to think about it, you could make this argument that jailing someone for what they say isn't actually taking away their freedom of speech. You can still talk in that jail cell all you want to, you know, say whatever you want to. Fine, no one's going to hear you because you're in a hole. But like, yeah, go ahead, say whatever you want to. No, there's obviously it's a distinction without a difference. The idea that you can't communicate with other people, well, that's the whole purpose of freedom of speech. Like that's what it is. And obviously, if you took it to its logical conclusion, if you limit your reach down to no one, then you've effectively robbed someone of their freedom of speech. And again, this isn't a First Amendment argument. I'm not saying that it's not the government doing it. These are different, powerful corporations who are basically in bed with the government doing it. But to make a distinction between freedom of speech and freedom of reach is incredibly creepy. It's Orwellian authoritarian insanity. Okay. So, I was going to pull up this article. We're running low on time here, but you know what? I'll still, let me see if I can grab it, because this kind of goes to the theme of what we've been saying. So this was the Washington Post. Now this is an opinion piece. I'll at least give them credit for labeling this as an opinion piece. It's pretty funny watching Brian Stelter there saying like, we need, at one point he said, we need less opinion and more news. And again, just saying this in the middle of what is nothing but an opinion piece, like just going, we need more hard news and less opinion. Now here's the hard news. Fox is wrong about everything and CNN's great. There's your hard news. But this just goes a little bit more to the theme I've been talking about. And here was the opinion piece by Sharon Risher in the Washington Post. And the title is Guns Are White Supremacy's Deadliest Weapon. We Must Disarm Hate. There's the title of the article. Guns Are White Supremacy's Deadliest Weapon. We Must Disarm Hate. I mean, right away from the title, you're like, I mean, guns are a pretty deadly weapon for anybody. But okay, let's jump into this for a second, just so you understand the point that I'm making, and I really think this is a white pill, not a black pill. The truth is that it is exciting that the cathedral's narrative is completely falling apart, that they have to stretch this much. So let me read from it. The defining photograph of the attempted insurrection on January 6th. Was that of a man strolling through the broken halls of our national capital amid the smashed windows and assorted rubble of the failed coup, proudly brandishing a Confederate flag on his shoulder and hoping to overturn an election decided largely by black voters. There's a first sentence in, quite a picture that they paint for you. And this is, as I said before, the desperate attempt to narrow this conversation back into the box that they're comfortable with.
Can we just analyze that state? Firstly, is that accurate that black voters predominantly turned this election?
Well, yes and no. It's really all about how you want to
What is it? 13% of the population, mm-hmm. maybe 16. I'm pulling that number out of my
head. Around 13.
Okay. So then what about the other, 70, like if 60% of the population is white, so why don't they get to have their votes? You're basically saying that because the 13% unanimously voted for this one, anyone doing anything else is undoing their, like, that's not really the way percentages and voting works.
It's even weaker than that because they didn't unanimously vote for Joe Biden. And in fact, Trump did better amongst black people than he did in 2016 and better than Mitt Romney did in 2012. So you could make an argument the other way. But yes, the majority of African Americans vote Democrat, which is true in every election. This is not unique to 2020.
And it presumes that every person that voted for Trump was really just voting against black, which is not the way elections work.
It's an incredibly absurd way to extract information from the data to fit your preconceived notions. You know what I mean? Like I'm trying to think of like an analogy almost, but I'm struggling because it's just too stupid. But yes, right away. So the reality of what you have here, right, is that a group of people, loyal Trump supporters, were convinced that this election was stolen from them. They were convinced that the political elite had screwed them over and robbed them of their democratic voice. Now, you can disagree with that all you want to. You can certainly say that there has not been enough evidence presented to that there's not a compelling enough point to agree that that is in fact the case. That's fine. You can, I have no problem with having that opinion. In fact, that more or less is my opinion. I'm open to the idea. I don't trust the government for shit. I think there are some things that look a little bit suspicious. We overhauled the voting system and it seems like not a very sure system right now. But I haven't seen enough evidence to confidently come out and say, yes, I believe the election was stolen and Donald Trump would have won if it wasn't for this. I don't believe that. But that's what's going on here. Now, to just extract from that basically these people just hate blacks and wanted to overturn the black result of the election is just, it's, again, like I said before, it's such a reach that I love seeing it out there. I love seeing it because you're like, this isn't even a plausible explanation for what happened. Okay. It's an image that tells, oh, by the way, and of course, they're just picking the one image of some guy with a Confederate flag. I mean, they start by saying that's the defining photograph. There's no reason why that's the defining photograph. Maybe the defining photograph would be the one of that woman on the ground who was just shot by a cop, right? Like if this was a Black Lives Matter protest, I don't think they would find one person with a hammer and sickle flag and say that's the defining image. They'd if a cop shot someone in the middle of that protest, I'm pretty sure they'd pick that as the defining image. But anyway, the article goes on like this, and then a couple paragraphs later, it is revealed that this guy's mother was killed in at Charleston in that horrible mass shooting. And so basically it's all after that, an emotional plea to ban guns, to have gun control, to get guns out of these hateful people's hands, because look, this has happened before. Racist person killed someone in the past. Trump supporters equal racist equals gun control. It's just like an astoundingly weak argument. And I think it just fits this theme that they're losing control of the, that no one could possibly, you know, like, or no large group of people could possibly find this compelling. But I also think it goes to a more interesting point even than that, which is really to undercut this whole unity message that Joe Biden is attempting to push, or that Democrats on the surface push. I mean, we want unity. We want to unify the country. Now, how are we going to go about unifying the country? Well, step number one, we're going to impeach the president who's already left office. That's step one for unity from the Democrats. We're going to keep the presidential election season going a little bit longer by keeping all of these white hot tempers at, you know, max capacity. So that's step one. Step two is we're going to declare that Trump supporters are racist. They're basically the same as that white supremacist who shot up a bunch of black people in a church. Same exact thing, right? I mean, one of them had a Confederate flag, right? So there's your connection. They're all the same. And now let's push to take people's guns away. Because as we know, nothing would really unify the country more than a major push to take away all those racist right-wingers' guns. There's your three-step plan for you. This whole thing is spinning out of control, man, and the cathedral is losing the narrative. And I think that is a potentially really great thing. Also potentially could get kind of ugly. But hey, we'll see. But we'll be back on Wednesday with a brand new episode. Thank you everybody for listening. Go follow Robbie the Fire Bernstein on Twitter Follow Robbie on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle again? At Robbie the Fire.
Robbie the Fire.
At Robbie the Fire. Check out his other podcast, Run Your Mouth. Thanks for listening. See you guys later. Peace.